Morning. You know, I was thinking about this message and Veterans Day popped in my head. And I was thinking about the day that we took Gregory to the recruiting office and dropped him off and knew that he was on embarking on a journey that he really didn't have a clear understanding of, and how worried we were as parents for him, how heavy-hearted we were. Those first 6 weeks where you can't have any contact with them at all, and you're wondering how they're doing. I remember talking to Greg on the phone and him saying, "Dad, I learned that when they're in your face and they're cussing and they're doing all that stuff to tear you down, they're just trying to tear you down to do the job, but I could see right through their eyes it didn't mean anything." That's how he dealt with it. God gave him grace to endure those hard boot camp training times. The first time he went out on deployment, it was unsettling. We don't know where he was going or what he was doing. We knew he was going in the combat zone. And I remember talking to him, it was either before or after he went, and he said, "You know, Dad, I'm not worried. You know, God's my God. And if I die, then I die. He takes me home. If I live, I live. I don't. I'm in his hands. I belong to him." And he had a resolve to that that kept him secure. And I think as Christians, we need to remember to keep that resolve, but we have to find a resolve in order to handle the burden that sometimes we face. I was thinking about my brother Keith when he was in Vietnam, and all those guys that came back from Nam, and the lack of apparent appreciation in our country because of the misunderstanding of what was going on, or the understanding. Whatever the case is, these guys were giving their lives for our country, regardless of what the political stand was. I remember him coming home and telling me about his buddies that were, you know, close buddies, his bunk buddies, that, you know, where he would see them floating in the river, you know, and just the different horrible sights that he saw and having to have to deal with that. And in some ways, I honestly think that in some ways he didn't deal with it. And he came home from Nam and he said, "You know, Terry, I'd like to go to church with you this Sunday." Because I had been sharing the gospel with him and I want to go to church. And so he went to church and I've been thinking about what you've been talking to me about, the gospel. And got to church and he heard the gospel message, and it was a little tiny church in an old Harley Davidson motorcycle shop that was converted to a worship center. I remember he went forward and received Christ. And it was a custom of the pastor to say, "Hey, you know, just kneel down before the Lord and let's pray together. Receive him in your heart." And he goes, "Oh, I don't do the kneeling thing, but we can pray." You know, that's just where he was at as a guy. But I do remember that those guys suffered and they didn't get the credit. And it's good to see on the news today and years past the recognition that's being given to them for their sacrifice, because I can't imagine going through all of that and then having your own country, in a sense, betray you by not giving thanks for you. And we need to remember that. We need to remember the ones that have already served and given and have witnessed what they've witnessed and all that for our country. And we need to remember how great our country is, even if it is in a post-Christian culture. But we need to be praying for our military men and women, because, you know, most of them are kids. And they're out there and they're facing the world and facing the challenges, and they're torn down to be built back up into a certain manner, and they don't know what they're going to see, experience, or if they're going to live or die. And it's got to be hard for them, as Greg would say, "Dad, all we eat is 5 chicken nuggets on this ship each meal. I'm hungry. I don't have enough food." waiting for the delivery of food out at sea to come. They were all excited one day, and they saw they were lifting with a buoy crane or something like that, and they were lifting this package, you know, a crate. Your pallet, yeah, of food, and they're watching it, and it's the seas are rough, and it's swinging. They lost it, and the, and the thing wasn't just the food, but the letters, the contact. So he told his mother and I, he said, sometimes they get really wet because the waves hit it. And he says, you know, when you send us something, put it in the Ziplocs. So, you know, the box is wet, the stuff won't be. Okay. But we don't realize the things that our military go through. And, or even the unsettledness of some of the horrible things that have happened on military bases that are unpredicted. And so we need to remember them in prayer and be thankful. And sometimes I try to, when I see military officials in restaurants or whatever, I tell them, thank you for your service. And I know they appreciate that. And we need to remember that. So pray for them. But in that, I want to springboard that to the fact that as our military have burdens that they face, as families that have loved ones that are out there, that they face the burden of their family being gone. You know, it'd be 6 years since Greg's been in the active duty this by the end of this summer, and then he's coming home, Lord willing. But it's been quite a 6 years for all of us to see the things he's been through and in effect what that does to us as well. So how do we deal with those type of burdens? Or how do we deal with burdens in our life? And I want you to, I'm really encouraged as I prepared for this message and I studied for this message and I thought about the burdens that we sometimes carry that smother us, that crush us or whatever. Like the day Greg was, you know, dropped off at the recruiter's office knowing that, okay, he's going to come back a different person than what he was when we dropped him off as a kid. And God has shown in His Word ways that we can deal with burdens in a way that really, and it's, if we catch it, if we see it, is really a beautiful blessing through the burdens. And that's something our minds just go, huh? That doesn't make sense. How can we have a beautiful blessing through burden? It's by the way that we deal with the burden before God. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you will carry this message your way for your glory. And we ask it in the wonderful and marvelous name of Jesus. Amen. Anxiety is the opposite to faith, as hot is the opposite to cold. I think that's one thing we need to remember, that when we are facing anxiety over whatever situation that we are facing in our life, it's the opposite of faith. Through faith, though, we can find that peace and that hope and that encouragement and that insight and that resolve and those things that we need so that we can be what, or let me rephrase that, so we can understand how God wants us to view things so that we can find that peace and that resolve in our hearts. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You know what that Selah means? It means take time to think about it. Meditate on it. Ponder what's being said here. Trust Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. How awful it would be if we didn't have God, our Heavenly Father, as our refuge. How awful it would be if we didn't have Him to rely on, who knows all things and nothing's hid from His eyes. He knows the intent of every heart and every thought. He knows all the good and all the bad. He knows nothing is missing from His sight and His understanding. Therefore, He has clear judgment and we can trust Him. First thing I want us to remember is to be resolved to have peace and thankfulness in burdensome times. We have to decide that I want to seek the peace that God intends for me to have through this time of burden and to have it with a heart that can only come by the Spirit of God in our life by giving thanks to God for the burden. I think one of the things that we need to remember is that no matter what burdens that we are facing in our Christian walk, that there is a good reason for that burden, that God has allowed that to be something that we're confronted with, or that we're focusing on, or that we're dealing with, however you want to term it. But God is working that good to teach us something about whatever, so that we can be better for Him. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment, but when we have burdens sometimes the burdens become all-consuming. They just envelop us. They come around us, and they just want to rob us of the joy and the peace and the direction and the assurance and the hope and all the wonderful blessings that God wants us to have, even in the midst of those problems. And so be anxious for nothing. So instead of allowing yourself to be consumed, what do? He goes, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're to take those things that are those burdens that make us anxious, that make us uncomfortable, or that make us consumed, or whatever the case might be, and we're to bring them before who? Our Heavenly Dad, our Father in Heaven. And we're to lay them down before the Lord through prayer, making specific mention to all of our concern and all of our insight and everything that's consuming us, and bring it to before the Lord. And then a very important thing is to be thankful. I've learned that and continue to learn that if I can be thankful, if I can muster up in my emotions somewhere in the middle of it and say, God, I know that you're working good in this. Or, God, I'm thankful that you're my God. I'm thankful that you're my tower. I'm thankful that you're my rock, that you're the one that I can call upon. I'm thankful that you know my heart. I'm thankful, Father, that I can come before you with all that I am and not be rejected. Somehow, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be thankful for the specific circumstance, or maybe so, because God is still working something through that. But if we can muster up words of thankfulness, it'll help put the water on the fire of burden. It'll help calm our spirit before God and say, God, I'm thankful. And there's something about that attitude with sincerity backing it up, that it's almost a soothing, calming point. Even though the burden hasn't gone away or dissolved, it's just something there that says, God, I am thankful. It's a humbling before God. It says, I'm thankful. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Now, not the peace that the world gives, for Jesus said, I give you peace, but not like the world gives peace, right? But I will give you peace. So if we are willing to yield ourselves to God and look to Him with a thankful heart in the middle of our anguish, and again I say anguish, God will show us what we need to see to give us peace. And that peace comes from His throne. Not from the things of earth, not from the circumstance, not from my own mustering up, but from Him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And that is not, what's that axiom? Is that the word? Where it's a phrase? You know, that's a oxymoron or whatever that says, which surpasses all understanding. When God gives us peace, sometimes we don't understand why. But He just gives it. Why? Because He loves us. And even though we haven't resolved it, it's like holding on to Him and hugging Him and Him hugging us back with a sense of reassurance that says, I give you peace. Just calm down. I remember 1964, Hurricane Donna, Miami, Florida. Hurricane came. Eye of the hurricane went over our little neighborhood, went down the street. This huge Benjamin ficus tree was split in half, and my brothers were climbing up in it, and I was climbing up in it, and the branch above me, my brother and the buddies and all that stuff were hanging, broke and fell on me, knocked the wind out of me, blah, 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 blah. Well, when I got home, my mother cradled me in her arms. I was just a little kid, and she held me until I got my wind back and composure and all that stuff, and there was a peace. God made moms to be that way. And God gives us that peace. He gives us that comfort, just because he's God, our Father, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word guard is to keep protected, to war against the enemy. In other words, our anxiety is fuel for warfare that draws us away from God. And if we can remember that we're not pulled into that scheme or craftiness of Satan and yield to, Lord, I humble myself before you. I'm thankful to you for what's going on. I don't understand, but I do love you and I want to be in your will. And we seek the face of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." First point is that God doesn't want us to worry. He wants to know his peace. And second point is, he says, find hope. God has the answer. God has the resolve. God has the plan. God has the purpose. God is in control. God is sovereign, Lord, King. God is your Father and my Father. He loves you and he loves me, and we are his children. And as we yield to him, we find hope. James 5:13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." If there's anything to do in response to suffering, burdens, pain, sorrow, injury, whatever, pray. Seek the face of God. I love that phrase. That's seeking that connection, that sense of that awareness of his presence and his will for our lives. If anyone is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing songs. In other words, there are going to be times when we're not cheerful, where we're burdened, and what we need to do is say, okay, get on our face or get on our knees or get our mind and our heart focused on praying before God about the issues. If we're happy, then sing songs to the Lord. But I've found an interesting mix-up, and I haven't found the scripture to support it yet. Maybe it's there. Maybe I've mentioned it before. I can't remember. But there are times when I'm upset where a song comes on my heart. I get frustrated. I'm mad. I don't want to sing. But the reality is that God is using, the Holy Spirit is using the song he's putting on your heart to lift you up. So if we can muster up the grace to sing as much as we would muster up by faith to give thanksgiving, then those things will help pick us up in him. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." You understand that first part? And let. It is our choice whether we let God's peace rule in our heart or not. Rule in our heart. But we can't find that peace. We can't find that resolve. We can't find that comfort. We can't find that unless we are in prayer and we seek him with a thankful heart, telling them everything about our mind and seeking him. "That the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body." Interesting. We're all called in one body, together, in unity, to be thankful. I think even in our personal families, that when personal families go through trial and difficult times, if the family together can be thankful and be one body united together, how much that glorifies God. In your little insert and filling in the spaces, the first word is resolve. Resolve anxiety through a thankful heart. The first step is we go to God in prayer with a thankful heart, though we don't understand, whatever the circumstance, okay? With a thankful heart. Secondly, be resolved to give your burden or burdens to the Lord. Kind of redundant statement, but we have to learn to not just go to God in prayer, but we have to learn to give our burden to him. If we're not willing to give it to them, then we're only taking it, holding on to it, and harboring it and feeding it. We got to give it over to him. And the thing I've learned in this is that it's not a one or the other. It's in the midst of. In the midst of the situation, give the burden to the Lord. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. When Greg was, or he drove away and left him at the recruiter's office, you can bet we were praying. I can't remember if we were being thankful. I hope we were. It's been a while. It's been 6 years. But I do know that we cast our burden to the Lord. We committed Gregory to him. God will sustain you. What happens if you're not sustained? You just sink. You just sink into almost a place of despair and anguish. God doesn't want that. God wants us to rely on him with a thankful, prayerful heart, giving him the burden so that he can pick us up and sustain us. And I can't help but think about Peter walking on the water. You know, as he sunk, the Lord was there. He cried out to God, God, help me! Right? And the Lord Jesus put out his hand, lifted him up, and sustained him on the water. And there's a great comfort in knowing that we're being sustained by God, by his power, not our energy, not our strength, not our doing, but our dependency, that God's grace is intervening on our behalf to sustain us in times of burden or difficulty or whatever we may face. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. You know what that means? I want to emphasize the righteous. Is that a position only, meaning just the Christian that's saved? Or is it also the Christian who is yielding one's life to the will of God? Is it a contingency? Is it something that is contingent on our choice of stepping out in faith? I think a little of both. One, we're saved and that's secure. But two, if we're going to walk with the Lord and not allow ourselves to be knocked down by circumstances, what God is saying is that when we rely on him that way, that he will not allow, the word for move there is shaken. We will not be shaken off the foundation of Christ. We will not be shaken in our walk with Jesus. We will not be shaken and fall to despair, but we will stand in the grace and in the strength and in the power and most of all and foremost, God's love. We will know God's love for us as we seek his face. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, is that saying, okay, anything I commit to the Lord and I trust him for, God's going to give me? No. Be nice, but no. What it means is that commit the situation to God and trust him to bring it to its completion. That's how I'm taking it, and you can study and come to your own conclusion. Because I know that I can go to God and talk to him about what I want, lay it down before him, mean it with all my heart, mean it with all conviction, give it to him the best that I know how, and emphatically with everything that I am, give it to him, but it may not be his will. Doesn't mean he's going to bring what I want to pass, but if I trust him with what his will is, he will bring to pass what he wants to accomplish. And we have to trust God with that. So the second thing in your insert is to be resolved to fill in. Be resolved to commit your burden or burdens to the Lord. Satan's trick is to get us to just carry the burden ourselves, stew in the burden ourselves, and not yield it to our Father in heaven. And trust him because he knows everything. Nothing's hid from his eyes. That means that validates that he is even that much more clearly just and able to take care of things in a way that brings him glory. And finally, find resolve through earnest prayer. Well, I think we've already talked about that, haven't we? But I want to go back to 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Verses 1 through 9 is a little summary. Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. He loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Peninnah provoked her severely to make her miserable. They went as a custom to worship and sacrifice to the Lord in Shiloh. So we get the understanding that Hannah is miserable. She's brokenhearted, and she has a desire that she's asking God to take care of. But she goes to him with all of her heart, all of her soul, all of her mind, and pleads and pours herself out before God. Sometimes that's what we have to do. And really, you know what that is? That's an act of faith, trust, and a statement to God that says, God, you're my God, I believe in you, I trust you, and I know you are able. So I'm coming to you for the help. In 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 20, it says, and she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul, miserable, bitter. We've been there. Do we know that bitterness of soul, whatever the circumstances we've gone through, it's there and it's consuming. It's a bitterness of soul. And prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. But you know, it's at those broken hearts, those times when we are totally exposed before God in that deep way, that God can speak to our hearts in ways that we never understood. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant. I feel like you've forgotten me. Don't forget me. You know? Don't forget my prayer. Don't forget my need. Don't forget what I'm saying. Don't forget my pain. Don't forget all of this that I'm going through. But will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Do we catch something here that is more than the need that Hannah has? What will she do if God gives her her request? She will seek to use that fulfillment of her answered prayer for God and his glory. I got the scripture to back it up. I can set it up. Ask what you will and her make it come to pass. Lord, I want my vet, and I'll use my vet for ministry. No. God knows the broken heart. And in the midst of brokenheartedness or burden or pain or suffering or anxiety or whatever we may go through, if we go to God with confidence, with love and faith, with a thankful heart, seeking his will, not our own. That's what Hannah was, not just seeking God's will, but she wanted to seek God glorified. I want you glorified, Lord. Not just my will to be done, but I want, if it's your will, Lord, that you've heard my heart, you've heard my plea, and if you honor my heart and you honor my plea, that you will use it for your glory. And so she offered her son, if God was to give it to her, to the Lord for his glory. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched over her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. An interesting side note, apparently in that day, in that society, that culture, may not have been uncommon to find women drunk. There's the thought. Not a great thought, so we'll move on. Verse 14, so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. Do you think that little bit of change of focus, change of heart, and kind word from the priest Eli to Hannah encouraged her that maybe God might honor her request? A good word in due season is like apples of gold on a platter of silver, Scripture says. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Did you get that? What was part of her temperament when she dealt with stress and burden? She stopped eating. And she was sad. I don't want to eat. I don't feel like eating. I'm miserable. But because God encouraged her through the high priest Eli, and in her prayer time, of course, with God, she went away and ate, and automatically she's going to feel better. And her face was no longer sad. And then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. And I don't need to explain that. We know what that means. And the Lord remembered her. I've not let your earnest prayer before me drop to the ground. Your prayers are in my hand, and I honor them. And it is my will that what you have asked will come to pass. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Samuel became the high priest over Israel, very powerful and pivotal godly man over Israel. Hannah, as soon as the first 3 years of having Samuel, which was the normal weaning time, she took him to the temple and dedicated him to be taught of the ways of the Lord for him. But God also had blessed her with several other children as a result. Know God's care and compassion for you. We can't find God's care and compassion for us unless we don't turn to him. Know God's care and compassion for you and discover the resolve to your heartache or heartaches. God will give you the resolve. God will give you the peace. God will give you the hope. God will even give joy. Even in the midst of the process of the burden being resolved, in the middle of it, God will give these things to us. God wants us to find peace, hope, and joy by having a thankful heart through burdensome times. Faith. Faith is the key. Faith in God. Faith that God loves you. Faith that God understands. Faith that God has not rejected. Faith that God will give you understanding and insight and wisdom. Faith that God will take care of things for his glory as we yield it to him. Filling in that little blank, I know I went ahead of myself there, but if you want to fill in the last thing, it says, know God's care and compassion for you. And discover, is one word, his resolve for your heartache or heartaches. God is good. He's our Father. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And he's called us to love him. And so, as we deal with whatever things we have to deal with, whether it be those that go to the cemetery and remember the loved ones that died naturally, that were soldiers, that were vets, or even those that died in the middle of battle and combat, whether we are facing burdens or whatever the case might be, know that God is there. He cares and loves and can give us the hope, the peace, and the thankful hearts that he wants us to have. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we are thankful that you are our Heavenly Father. You understand all things, you see all things clearly, and you are just and holy and pure. And we're thankful, Father, that we can come to you as men and women or even children and lay our heads down on you and just find rest and resolve and refreshment, peace, and warmth of your love that comes only from you, your way. So, Father, I pray that you would help each of us to embrace you that way. And may you be glorified. Father, if there's anyone here that has a prayer need, like to meet with me and have prayer, or has a decision that they would like to make that requires, you know, like, I want to come forward and be baptized, or I want to receive Christ as my Savior, believing that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that he was buried, that he rose, and that I need a Savior, that they might know the wonderful truth of being saved, all sins forgiven, and having a relationship with Jesus. Whatever the need is, if there be any, Father, honor that. Glorify your name, your Son, Jesus, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.